It's time for everyone's favorite podcast on the web. Live it off the wall. Where you get the best sports talk and info in New York.
I got a special treat for you this evening. A young man that you all know is Joe the Policeman from the What's Going Down episode of That's My Mama. I want you to put your hands together and welcome him to the stage. Big round of applause for Jackson Heights' own
Mr. Chris Shan.
It's an all-new Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. And here's your host, Chris Shan.
Hello, everyone. Happy Sunday, and welcome to the special Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com, our opening night special Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. I can't believe it, but it's here already. It just seems like yesterday it was on the field, Game 6, Yankees-Phillies at the stadium, christening the new Yankee Stadium with the 27th World Championship. Andy Pettit, stellar throughout the playoffs, won every game-clinching game for the Yankees. No other better way to put that. Wow, I'm a Wordsworth. He won the game in the ALDS against the Twins, and he won the ALCS game against the Angels, and of course, took care of the Phillies in Game 6 of the World Series. Everybody was worried about him, but if you refer to one of my blogs that, you know, in Andy We Trust, you would see that before the game, I was very confident in a Game 6 victory and the 27th World Championship for the Yankees. Now, Joe Auriemma is under the weather. He will not be joining me for this special podcast. We apologize for that. In his place, we have Anthony Greek from the Mike Francesa Show. Anthony Greek and I have been working on that show for quite some time. Anthony, say hello to everyone.
Hello, Chris. Hi, everybody. How you doing?
That's Anthony, and he will be helping me through. This is, as we said, as we promoted this in our podcast earlier this week, this is content driven by you, the listener, the Yes Network viewer. We have stuff from YesNetwork.com. We have polls. We have questions and comments from our Twitter pages, and we also have comments from our My Yes message boards as well as phone calls. So you guys really came through and you really got stuff done to drive this podcast. And it's all about the Yankees. It's all about the 2010 season. And when Anthony and I come back, we will dive in head first into this very special podcast to see what you, the fan, thinks of the 2010 New York Yankees. We're back right after this.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Joneses with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Shearn.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on opening night. Yankees and Red Sox will kick off the MLB season in 2010 in grand style. And speaking of grand style, one of the poll questions on our YesNetwork.com poll page was who should play center field. It was between Curtis Granderson and Brett Gardner. Well, Granderson was named the everyday center fielder, and it looks like everybody in the poll got it right. 82% of you thought Curtis Granderson should be the starting center fielder, while Brett Gardner garnered 17% of the vote. Greek, what do you think about this? I mean, Granderson, Gardner, who do you think should have played center field?
Well, Granderson's going to become the 17th guy to start center field opening day for the Yankees. And, of course, that position is so important to the Yankees' history. You know, you had Bobby Mercer play out there. You had Mickey Rivers and, of course, Joe D.
Mickey Mantle.
It goes on and on. So it's a big position, and it's, you know, like the quarterback of the Giants, like
right.
with Eli Manning.
Right.
It's one of those positions, and I think Girardi wants to stick with him and just give him a spot and stick through the season with him. Of course, Gardner's going to go to left now, they're saying. And I saw the quote by Curtis Granderson in the paper. It's been a learning experience to understand the history behind the position because I didn't follow the Yankees growing up. He said, to hear about it and learn about it, you know right away that there are big shoes to fill, and I just have to do my job and make the routine plays. So I think it's a good move for them to put him in center and just say, it's your job. You don't have to worry about, you know, every day And you, of course, on Bag Rocks today, you know, is he going to play center today? Who's going to play left?
Well, the thing is with Granderson and Gardner, I think the big question, one of the big questions going into spring training, there weren't a lot of big questions with the Yankees, which is weird for the Yankees when they go into spring training because most of the time you have a lot of storylines to follow. But the big one, as we both know, was who was going to be the fifth starter. And Phil Hughes, of course, won that, and that's going to be our next question. But before we get there, it was, you know, who is going to play center? And is Brett Gardner an everyday player? And through spring, I guess he still hasn't proven, Greek, that he's still not an everyday player. I would like to see Gardner get a shot, but I think Granderson getting the nod in center means that they're not really sold on Brett being an everyday player, and they know they could platoon a Marcus Thames, a Randy Wynn, and a Brett Gardner in left field. It's just going to be like a merry-go-round out there in left.
Yeah, and I think that that's a good position for the Yankees to be in, to have, you know, to be able to switch around in left. Now, Gardner in spring training, take with it as you may. He's 10 for 52. He's hitting .212. Does that really matter? I don't know.
I mean, he could have batted .700 in the spring, and people would still raise an eyebrow about Gardner. But here's the thing. I think this takes pressure off Granderson because now he knows what his role is, especially on the defensive side of the ball. He knows what he has to bring to the table. Now he knows a little bit about the history of center field. And as far as Gardner goes, I think this takes pressure off him as well because he knows he's not really going to have to go out there every day. He's not going to have to be the guy. I mean, he can go out to left field. His on-base percentage has to come up
right,
because that's where he's most dangerous. The Yankees are going to have pretty much one of the best outfields speed-wise in the game. You know, you could interchange Gardner and Wynn. Wynn's a lot older, but he's still got wheels out there in left when
right.
he plays. You have Granderson in center, and then Swisher in right, who's a pretty good defensive outfielder. So the Yankees are pretty much set in the outfield, and now that everything is set with Granderson in center field and you're going to have that platoon situation in left, everybody knows the role, and everybody can start focusing on that role.
Right, and I love Gardner in left. I love the speed that he brings to the table. I love his gritty play. He can bunt. He can move guys over. Not that you do that a lot in the American League. But I think he's a good player, and I look forward to the way that they set this up. I think it's going to work out very well for them, especially early on.
And listen, he doesn't have a rocket for an arm, but it's an upgrade over Johnny. Anything was an upgrade over Johnny Damon.
And Chris, you know, a big thing with Granderson that you heard, you know, I work on the Francesa show.
Right.
So you've heard a lot of last year that Leland wasn't too happy with Granderson in center, his defense. They said maybe he got a little lazy out there. He only made, I think, two or three errors in center field. But they said that his defense was a little bit of an issue last year, even though he didn't have any glaring numbers that said that. But I think he's going to be fine. And, you know, with the talent that the Yankees have, I mean, he can make a couple errors. And yeah, it's not going to be a big deal.
Pretty much. You could overcome an error or two here and there with the offense that the Yankees
exactly.
bring to the table, even without Hideki Matsui and Johnny Damon. All right, the next question was, who should be the fifth starter? And the candidates on the poll were Hughes, Aceves, Jabba, and Mitre. By an overwhelming percentage, Phil Hughes not only won the job in real life, but he also won the poll. Hughes came in with a blistering 71% of the vote, Aceves with 14%, Jabba had 9, and Mitre had 5. Now, this the whole time, I don't know how you feel about this, but the whole time I was thinking, this is something that is a win-win for the Yankees. Whoever won that fifth spot, it makes the bullpen better. Didn't matter who won it. If Jabba won it, Hughes went to the bullpen. Bullpen gets better. If Hughes wins it, Jabba goes to the bullpen. Bullpen gets better. Aceves is a guy who, now listen, he might start the season on the disabled list. He's having some back issues right now. But if there's injuries later in the season, you could plug him into a starting, you know, he did the same thing for you last year. I think he was 10-1 with a pretty good ERA and kept the Yankees, if he didn't start the game, he kept the Yankees in the game in middle relief. So having Aceves in the bullpen, a bonus. Mitre, who's coming back from Tommy John surgery, was just a little bit out of it last year, and he pitched well. I mean, not well enough for Yankee fans to be comfortable with him, but he pitched well enough to be someone that Joe Girardi could rely on, and Girardi loves Mitre. So having him in the bullpen as a long man only makes the bullpen stronger. And let's not forget about Chan Ho Park, too. He's out there, and he's not too shabby either. Maybe not as a starter, but for one inning, throwing 96, 97 miles an hour, having Chan Ho out there is good. So, needless to say, after all that, Hughes winning the fifth starter spot didn't really make the Yankees worse. It actually makes the Yankees better.
I agree. And as you know, as a Yankee fan, I just I keep getting this one game stuck in my head, and that's the game that Phil Hughes pitched in Texas where he had the perfect game going. I guess it was through seven, and then he got hurt.
The hamstring.
They pulled him out. And I just remember that night saying, here we go. This is the kid that the Yankees drafted. This is the guy that they've been, you know, waiting for, that young next maybe Andy Pettit, obviously mm-hmm. different type of pitcher. Mm-hmm. But I just think that Hughes, you know, obviously he was the biggest surprise of last year, I think, with how well he did in the bullpen. And I just think that he's the right guy. I think Jabba needs to just calm down, go back to the bullpen, come out like a bull that he is, fire the ball, stop thinking, stop worrying about, you know, all the distractions that he's had with, you know, because this has been one of the biggest things that have been talked about is this Jabba Chamberlain thing.
Right.
Jabba belongs in the bullpen, the eighth inning guy. And here's another thing. You know, we were down in Tampa a couple weeks ago, and Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer in baseball history, was right there with Francesa. And he said, if I make you the manager today, who is your eighth inning guy? And he said, without a doubt, it's Jabba Chamberlain. And so if Mo wants him out there, who am I to say that he shouldn't?
Right.
So I think the fans speak, you know, speak for the majority of Yankee fans to say that Hughes should get that spot.
And you know what? I think, I mean, in my opinion, it's about time we saw what he can do over a full season. Hopefully, no injuries. And we'll see what kind of return Phil Hughes will have as a starter for the entire year. How many games will the Yankees win? Now, there were three categories here on this poll question. 96 to 100, 100 plus, and 91 to 95. Now, 96 to 100 was the winner by a considerable margin. 58% of you thought that it would be 96 to 100. 27% thought 100 or more. And 14% thought 91 to 95. Now, the Yankees' main competition this year, everybody thinks it's always the Red Sox, but being down in Tampa, being around the beat writers, being around beat writers from different teams and beat writers from ESPN, they all seem to think that the Rays are going to be the competition. Everything you read, you know, everybody wrote the Rays off after last year. Coming into this season, it was still all the talk about the Red Sox and the Yankees, but the Rays can come up pretty much like a rattlesnake and bite the Yankees and the Red Sox in the backside and actually take the AL East. So with this, I'm going to say I fall into the category that the Yankees, I'm going to go out there and say 91 to 95 wins.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but I think 91 to 95.
Yeah, I mean, and of course health is always going to be the issue when you're talking these high, you know, these numbers that are this high. But I think the mission for the Yankees is simple, 100 wins. Get 100 wins. If they don't, you know, obviously they could still win the division. But I think 100 wins is right around where they're going to be. You know, give or take a couple here or there. They could have 102, maybe 98.
Mm-hmm.
But I would be one of the guys that would vote for 100 wins with this team. I mean, it's too stacked. They look too good. I think they have a better team than last year. And, of course, last year they won the World Series.
It's a bit of a different team. Not as much pop.
Right.
You know, you lose Damon, you lose Matsui. I mean, Granderson had 30 home runs last year, but we'll see. I mean, Nick Johnson, who knows if he stays healthy. And speaking of health, that's, and you brought it up, our next poll question was, what are you concerned about the most? And staying healthy outweighed everything. 63% of you thought it was staying healthy. Offense, starting pitching, bullpen, and defense, not really concerned. Although the one thing that's raising an eyebrow with me here is 24% of the people are concerned with the offense. And I guess that has to do with Matsui and Damon being off the team. But I don't really think they took a step back. I think people take away from, I think people don't really have confidence in maybe Cano being a number five. I think they think Posada's on the downside. Posada has to prove to me that he's on the downside of his career. I have no doubt in my mind that he'll be fine at the plate this year. They need him to be fine. They need him to stay healthy. He's an important part of that offense. Now, if he gets hurt, the offense does become a concern. But being completely healthy, I don't think you could be concerned about the offense, can you?
I mean, I don't know about you, Chris, but I grew up watching the Yankees from, you know, 1988, you know, 90 with Stump Merrill when they lost 100 games. When one of my bigger concerns is the offense of a team that has, you know, four Hall of Famers in the infield, you know, Cano yet to be seen, but he's on his way, I think. And you got Teixeira and A-Rod and Jeter. The last thing I'm going to worry about in a poll is the Yankees' offense. I mean,
when you have Wayne Tolleson at short.
Yeah, Wayne Tolleson and Andy Stankiewicz, and you know, you're hoping Matt Noakes hits a home run to win a game 10-9. You know, offense, that's the least of the worries.
All right, better rotation between the Yankees and the Red Sox. 88% of you said the Yankees had the better rotation, and the Sox got 11%. So, all right, let's look at it. Yankees first. CC Sabathia, AJ Burnett, Andy Pettit, Javi Vasquez, and Phil Hughes. The Red Sox have Josh Beckett, They have John Lackey. They have Lester. And they have Dice K. And they have Wakefield, potentially. What do you think?
Well, I mean, it's pick your poison. But I think, you know, Vasquez, the first time he was here, there was a lot of pressure on him. There was a lot on his shoulders to be, you know, a number one, number two guy, whatever it was. I don't remember specifically. But last year, he was great for Atlanta. The Yankees now take him, and they have the luxury of making him a fourth starter. So, you know, I think Lackey is a bulldog. You know, I think he's a fighter. And, you know, I like what Lackey brings to the table. But I think the Yankees have a better staff overall. If everyone's healthy and you compare both, and you know, Dice K, they said he had some injuries that he was hiding, and the Red Sox were upset about that. Yeah. Who knows if that's going to come back to haunt him a little bit? You know, Wakefield, the old veteran, and throwing those knuckleballs. You know,
if both of these staffs, look, the Red Sox have three number ones when you look at it, because Lester and Lackey. Lackey was already number one on another team. So Lester could be a number one on another team, and they have Beckett.
Right.
So they're stacked too at the top of their rotation. But the reason why I think the Yankees have a better rotation as a whole is because, you know, the Red Sox last two were kind of roll the dice.
Right.
And the Yankees with Vasquez.
Nice play on words there, by the way. Dice gay.
Thank you. Wasn't really meant to be, but. But with, I think Vasquez and Hughes, I think those two I would take over Dice K and Wakefield in a heartbeat.
Definitely. And what do you think, you tell me, with Beckett? I know he struggled last year. You know, I remember in August and September, like, he was getting killed by Oakland. He's given up a lot of long balls. Do you think he's straightened that out, or do you think he's going to be the same, you know, 20-game winner?
I think it's a contract year, and I think Josh Beckett will be throwing flame-throwing fastballs all season long. Sixth inning, it'll be 97 on the gun. This is his pay year, so I really think he has a bounce-back season. And it's a question of the rest of the rotation falling into line for the Red Sox. Now, back to the Yankees. Who should bat second? Nick Johnson, Curtis Granderson, a Johnson and Curtis platoon, Swisher, or other? Now, Nick Johnson won this poll. 51% of you thought so. Curtis Granderson had 20%, a platoon, which I think is going to happen because Granderson, as we all know, does not hit lefties well. It's just a proven fact. And Johnson could be in there in the two-hole against lefties, while Granderson could be in the two-hole against righties. So it's interchangeable, and Girardi has an option of doing that. And Granderson told me down in Tampa, listen, the only part of the lineup I didn't hit in last year with the Tigers was third. He says, I can bat anywhere, and I don't care where I bat, as long as I have a stick in my hand. So I'm not too worried about this. I don't know about you, but it's interchangeable, and it really doesn't matter to me.
Yeah,
you have the on-base percentage with Johnson if he stays healthy, or you have the speed of Granderson.
Yeah, I think it's a no-lose situation. I love Nick Johnson. I'm happy that they brought him back. Obviously, he's an injury waiting to happen, and hopefully he has a year where, you know, we don't have to worry about that. But, I mean, is he going to be hitting second all year? Most likely not, so I wouldn't mind a platoon, you know. I don't think it's that big of a deal, a big concern.
And by the way, Kevin Long said something. Joe Auriemma interviewed Kevin Long at spring training, and it got a chuckle out of me. And Joe brought up the question, well, with Nick Johnson batting second, aren't you worried about him clogging up the base paths? And he basically said, with Teixeira and A-Rod hitting behind him, we're hoping Nick could jog home and not really have to run too much.
I'm sure. And just to go along, that's pretty funny, but just to go along with what you said, Granderson last year against lefties hit 183, and for his career only 210.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're not going to really see Curtis Granderson against lefties batting second.
Right.
They're going to go with Nick Johnson in the two-hole there. Now, will the Yankees repeat as champions? Pretty good question. Basically, two answers, yes and no.
I wonder what this is. I wonder the answer here.
79% of you thought yes. 20% of you thought no. Everyone knows, Greek, you know as well as anybody. Since we've been here for YES, we've followed this team, you know, every season. And YES has been in existence since 2002. So this is going into our ninth season now. And the Yankees have one World Series title.
Right.
They've been to the series two times while YES has been around. They've been to the World Series three times in this decade. Actually, four, if you count 2000 in this decade. The 2000, the 2001, 2003, and, of course, last year. And they've only won one. So everyone knows, just by saying that, how hard it is to get there and then how hard it is to actually win it. So can they? Absolutely. We go back to the other poll question. Have to stay healthy, like 63% of you said. You have to stay healthy. Guys have to have decent years. And if everything falls into place and the pitching staff, if one thing, and you could comment right after I say this, but and you're a lifelong Yankee fan and you know what it is like in those late 80s, mid to late 80s when the Yankees had pretty much no pitching. Pitching and defense wins you titles. And if it didn't speak volumes to you last year, which is three of the Yankees starters in the rotation during the playoffs, and if you still don't believe that pitching and defense wins titles, then you have to go back to baseball school, my friend. They have to stay healthy. CeCe, AJ, and Andy have to stay healthy and have to have good seasons in order for them to repeat.
Yeah, and even if the Yankees win 105 games, they still got to get through that first round of, you know, best of five,
and
which is still the trickiest thing in, that I think in baseball to get through that first round.
They won't have to face the Red Sox, because if the Red Sox won the wild card, the Yankees won the wild card, they can't face each other, as we all know, in the first round. But think about facing the Mariners and having to go up against a healthy Cliff Lee and a healthy Felix Hernandez 1-2 in a five-game series.
Yeah.
That's, you know, depending on the spacing of the days,
right,
where they could pretty much pitch every game, that's a little scary. So not only does everything have to fall into place, the pitching has to be there and at the top of its game as it was last season when the playoffs started. Now, the greatest offseason acquisition, Greg. I'm gonna defer this to you. Before I tell you...
Yeah, I have no idea what any of the fans said.
No, Nick Johnson, Curtis Granderson, Javi Vasquez. Who do you think they voted for?
I would think they would have voted for Vasquez, but...
And you would be absolutely right. It goes back to what I say, starting pitching. 62% voted for him. Granderson got 37%. Nick Johnson got nothing.
Where's the love for Nick Johnson?
Where's the love for Greeks lookalike?
He's not my lookalike, all right? I met him on the subway.
They thought you were him, though.
Yeah, exactly.
But anyway, Vasquez, and I'm just going to repeat what I said. Starting pitching wins championships, and he is a huge pickup. He's a free agent after this season. Who knows if he'll stay around, but he's the number four guy this season, and he's going to be better than he was the first time around with the Yankees.
Right, and a lot of the talk that I heard down in Tampa, I believe Susan Waldman said this, is that Vasquez never wanted to leave in the first place, and he's thrilled to be back here. And I look for him to do big things. Of course, last year with Atlanta, he had a great year. And now he comes here with no pressure as being the number one or number two guy. He's the fourth guy. And I think he could quietly win 18 games without anyone even noticing. I really think that.
Yeah. The next question, who will win the AL East? Of course, Greek, it's the Yankees coming in with 94%. The Red Sox and Orioles got 2%, and the Rays with 1%. Blue Jays not even involved. Does it shock you that the Orioles got 2%?
Well, that their catcher, the kid, correct me on his name, it's Wieters.
Wieters.
I mean, they say this guy is going to be unbelievable. You know, they're already putting him in the Hall of Fame. You know, he's their catcher, obviously.
Already on a cover of Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess he has to be good.
From everything you hear, the Orioles are going to have a much better year. But you know what? You've been hearing that for the last 7 years.
Well, that's a we'll see.
Right.
And we'll see at the end of the season.
And Toronto's just going to get beat up all year.
Yeah. So let's wrap this up. Two more questions from our poll. Where should Jabba start the season? The Yankees bullpen or AAA as a starter?
I think we already covered that with
And it's 86% in the bullpen, and that's where he should be. And then the last question, will Montero be called up before September? A very slim yes, 54% to 45% no margin there. So I think he will be. I think he'll be called up before September. I think, you know, Jorge Posada may get hurt. Francisco Cervelli has had his problem with concussions. And if the Yankees don't turn to picking someone up off waivers, a proven veteran maybe Montero comes up. And if Nick Johnson gets hurt, they can bring him up as a DH.
He's the jewel of the farm system right now,
yes,
right?
Yes, he is. So. All right, Greek and I will be back right after this, and we'll hit the message boards. That's next on the special Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at YesNetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features, only at yesnetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com. Chris Sheeran, Anthony Greek filling in for Joe Auriemma, who is under the weather. And Greek and I are going to tackle the My Yes message boards right now, stuff that you wrote in about this season, some questions, some comments, and we're going to start with A-Rod13Fan, who says they should totally start Jabba in AAA this year, keep him stretched. It's only a matter of time before that April starts to hurt old man Andy Pettit. Well, listen, I know Andy Pettit's one of your favorite Yankees, so I'll let you comment after I say this. How soon we forget? I mean, this guy, yeah, is he getting up there in age? Of course. But I don't think the competitor that he is, I don't think he would have come back, especially off the season that he had, including the postseason. I don't think he would come back to lessen what he did for his career last year. I don't know what your thoughts are. I think Pettit's going to be fine.
My thought is Andy Pettit is one of the most underappreciated Yankees, of that core four, as they say. You know, he came back, he had a great year, and the one thing you got to remember with Andy Pettit, when the Yankees lose two in a row, three in a row, and it's about to snowball, and there's some pressure, and, you know, Girardi starts getting questions, who's the guy that always goes out there and wins that game and stops the bleeding?
Andy Pettit.
It's Andy Pettit. So I don't know what this guy was saying. Who did he say he should start in the – he said in the
– they want Jabba to start in AAA so that he'll be ready when Pettit starts to get hurt.
That's the most ridiculous thing I think I've ever heard.
So let's lessen the bullpen and fear the worst. That's not how you approach a season.
Right.
I mean, I hate to be as assertive and as, you know, quick and to the point as that, but that's just the case. Our next one is from Gotta Go to Mo. Have to admit to be worried about Nick Johnson in the two-hole. One of the things I want to know is how he will be in scoring on a single when on second base. The other day when A-Rod hit a single and Johnson did indeed score from second, I was very happy. I hope to see this continue, in which case I feel Johnson will be a good fit for the two-hole. On-base percentage is great, but one does need a bit of speed when batting second. Well, we covered this in our last segment, Gotta Go to Mo. Kevin Long, I'll repeat it. If you were daydreaming and didn't hear me before, Long told Joe Auriemma when he interviewed him down in spring training in Tampa, we're hoping that Nick won't have to do a lot of running. And that might be the case, you know, with Tex and A-Rod batting behind him. And, you know, on-base percentage, if you know, Teixeira's wrapping doubles into the gap, it's second and third with A-Rod up. If it's second and third with A-Rod up, Nick Johnson's on third. He's not going to have to do a lot of running to get in. So I really don't think that should be too much of a concern with the two guys he has behind him.
Yeah, I just love the things that Yankee fans have to worry about. I mean, we're so lucky as Yankee
fans. Moved to Kansas City.
Well, I mean, we're so lucky as Yankee fans to worry about Nick Johnson's speed scoring from second on a single. I mean, it's unbelievable. But hey, look, Nick Johnson is a good ball player, and I was sad that he left the first time. The guy could hit. He could flat-out hit. And if he has a healthy year, which, of course, it's an if, I don't think Yankee fans are going to be worrying about whether he can make it around second base on a single.
All right, let's go to Chaz. This year's team has the personnel to win more games than last year. I think pitching is going to lead the Yankees to a repeat. And that's what we said in the last segment, Greek. And Chaz hit the nail right on the head. I mean, I couldn't have said it better than that. They might be a little bit of a different team, maybe a running team this year, maybe a bun a guy over team this year, with the bottom of the lineup especially, say if Granderson is batting in the 8 hole and Gardner in the 9. You know, there's just different ways Girardi could, you know, approach things. He has his mashers in the middle. Don't forget, Robinson Cano could hit the cover off the ball if you wanted to. Jorge Posada, still no slouch. You have Mark Teixeira, you have Alex Rodriguez. You know, name me another team who has that kind of problem. Besides the Red Sox, besides maybe the Rays, if their guys like Zobrist and the like didn't have just breakout years and they're done. I mean, the American League East is going to be very competitive if guys keep having the years that they had for the Red Sox and the Rays. And, you know, the Orioles are coming around too. So it's going to be an exciting season, but I think I agree with Chaz. I think they have the personnel. It's just a case of staying healthy.
And what's going to also be interesting is to see how the stadium plays this year. Of course, last year they played so well at the stadium, and balls flew out to right early on in April and May. There's so much talk about the wall in right field. And, you know, the Yankees hit a ton of home runs last year. It's going to be interesting to see if the changes that you're talking about with the speed and Granderson and Gardner and Nick Johnson, it's going to be interesting to see if their offensive numbers come down a little bit or if they exceed what they did last year. But the stadium and how it plays again this year is going to be very interesting to watch, especially early on.
That's a tremendous point out of Greek. I did not think of that, and that's a great point. Our next one, New York Yankee guy, NYY guy. The Red Sox will win the season series 10-8 over the Yankees. However, the good guys will still win the AL East with a record of 96-66. So NYY guy getting specific, two games ahead of the wild card winner, which he predicts will be Boston. Again, don't count out the Rays, but not a bad prediction.
And don't count out Joe Maddon. He's a great manager. I think that was a young team that I think now they're ready to win. As, you know, they made a nice magical run. They went to the World Series. You know, now they had an off year. I think this year you got to look with a great manager like Joe Maddon. I think you have to look for a rebound season.
It's a question of their starting pitching. Does David Price grab the horns and does he, you know, claim the mantle of ace, number one starter? Does he have a better year? Does Niemann come around? Does he have a year like he had last year? And their closer this year, at least they have some stability in the closer's role with Soriano. So the Rays are definitely a team to think about. And last but certainly not least, Lola. I'm planning my opening night game menu, sausage and peppers, and smelly baked beans. Well, Lola, thank you. We wish we could come over and have some, especially those smelly baked beans.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was going to get too much out of you on that one. All right, when we come back, we continue rolling on. We'll take care of Twitter and some of the Twitter comments we received. That's next here on the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com.
Go to YesNetwork.com for the best Yankee blogs on the web. It's The Blob with Bob Lorenz, Keeping Up with the Jones with Kim Jones, The Pinstripe Bible with Steve Goldman, River Ave Blues, and much, much more. For wall-to-wall Yankees, it's YesNetwork.com.
It's Off the Wall on YesNetwork.com. Here's more from Chris Sheeran.
And welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast here for opening night on YesNetwork.com. The Yankees and Red Sox getting set to take the field to start the MLB season for 2010. And we're going to jump headfirst into our Twitter questions and responses. The first one is Travis Rogers. Andy Pettit is still pitching. Andy Pettit is still alive. That, of course, in reference to Jack Curry's article on YesNetwork.com, his blog. He had a chance to talk to Andy Pettit. And a couple of quotes from the article. Andy said, "I just can't keep on playing. I need to get back home." And what I think from his quote later in the blog here, Greek, "There are so many things going on back home and I'm not there. I can't keep asking my wife to take care of everything." He just, I think he's getting to the point where I think he still loves the game and I think he still could be competitive, but I think it's time for Andy Pettit in his vision to start being a father and not an absentee father.
Yeah, plus, I mean, he got a taste of being at home. You got to remember that. You know, he went to Houston. He had a few years there. You know, Clemens was down there. They were around their families a lot. Now he comes back to the Yankees again. And, you know, once you've had...
It's tough.
Yeah, right. Once you've been around the family and you go away, it's probably a lot tougher the second time around. So, you know, I think this is going to be Pettit's last year. You know, Pettit's always been one of my favorite Yankees just for the fact that he's always been clutch and he just wore that number with such great pride. And, you know, of all the lefties in Yankee history, you know, you have Red Ruffing and you have Whitey Ford. And, of course, you know, you're always going to think Andy Pettit when you think of Yankee lefties. And I think he's one of the great ones. And if this is his swan song, he got another championship last year, which was sweet. Whatever happens this year, I think
it's great.
If he hangs it up, it's okay.
It's gravy. Absolutely. Next one, Raphael 846. "By changing his uniform number to 28, Girardi delivered an early message to his assembled players that one World Series championship is not enough." Raphael, listen. Every season we know the Yankees want to win the World Series. They put the best players on the field to do it. The Steinbrenner family, the best owners pretty much in baseball, because the money they make, they spend on the players. And they tell their fans every year by the signings they make and the changes they make that, listen, we're here for you. We're making this team for you. We're putting the best product that we can possibly put onto the field. So, yeah, Girardi changing the number delivers the message. Absolutely. But you know what? If they win it this year, he'll be 29 next year.
Yeah, exactly. And you'll see Mission 28. And that's what I love about the franchise. You know, last year when you stepped in for every playoff game on that big, huge scoreboard, it said Mission 27.
Right.
And, of course, this year it'll be Mission 28, and they never lose sight of the goal. They're not here to make the playoffs. They're not here to win 85 games and sneak in. We all know it. They're here to win championships. And I think Girardi's number, I think it sets a great precedent. See how high he can go, you know, by the end of his career with the Yankees. Hopefully he'll be in, you know, 32, 33. But it's a great little thing that he's doing.
Next one, TV Sass 1. My question, what is taking so long? I say, Mr. Steinbrenner, tear down that ballpark. I really don't know the answer to that. Well,
Chris, I can answer that for you because I'm a big stadium guy.
That's why I'm deferring.
Yeah, and I mean, I love the original Yankee Stadium. I think the new place is beautiful. And, you know, but I can tell you that a lot of my friends who love the old place as well.
Section 39, by the way.
Well, I used to sit in Section 39 in the bleachers.
Greek is a bleacher creature, if you did not know that.
Right. Well, I got an email the other day, mm-hmm. and it said, watch this video with care. And I clicked it, and it was the YouTube clip of the final piece of the upper deck coming down. And I believe it was the right field upper deck, mm-hmm. the overhang where Tino hit the home run in 98 mm-hmm. against the Padres. And just slowly, in HD, on YouTube, mm-hmm. you just see that whole piece coming down. And, of course, gate 2 they just knocked down, the one that people were trying to preserve, mm-hmm. the last gate. That one just got the bulldozer the other day. So I think when Yankee fans show up to the new place this year for opening day, they're going to see a completely different old stadium because right. it's gone. I mean, the old stadium is gone. There's maybe a couple more pieces that are up. Mm-hmm. But the upper deck is gone. Most of the gates are all gone. And it's going to be a park sooner than later. So we just have to... You know, at least it's over. Yeah. So now we can focus on the new ballpark and say goodbye to the old one.
Absolutely. Well said, and I'm glad you were here to discuss that because I know how much that old stadium meant to you. Our last one, Murph Nation. Old Yankee Stadium demolition, one of the most depressing things I have ever viewed. Greek, you want to take another shot at it here?
You know what it is? I've been to one open casket funeral in my life.
Oh, geez.
My great-grandfather, who grew up next to Yankee Stadium,
right.
he used to carry the umpire's bags into the stadium,
oh, wow.
and he would get in for free, and he grew up right next to the stadium. And, you know, I like to remember my family, and I like to remember things that I loved the way they were when they were shining and beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it is a little tough to look. But like I said, now that it's over, and they're going to put the beautiful park over there for the community, I think Yankee fans were just looking to the future now and the new ballpark.
Yeah. You know, I did not go there as much as you did, but I could tell you this. And I'm starting to get goosebumps already. From the time I was 5 years old when my dad started to take me there, I would run into every aisle so I could see the grass. My father would have to, like, run after me and get me so we can get to our seats because you got to remember something. You know, that was the first time, that was my first experience, like, running out there just so I could see the field. That's all I wanted to see was the green grass. But... It, you know, my grandfather took me all the time, as I'm sure your grandfather did. It's really sad. It's sad, but as all things, all good things, as they say, must come to an end. And that stadium was a great thing. It's a shame, but progress has to move forward.
But you know what, Chris? The great thing that you could think of when you think that way is that ground is still going to be there. And the ballpark, the new one, is right across the street. You know, they're not far away. They're not in a different town. Some cities lose their stadiums forever, and
right.
teams bolt to another state.
Right.
You're right across the street, and that park's where a lot of Yankee fans used to park, you know, where the new ballpark is. They would walk across during playoff games. So it's still that little area. It's still River Avenue. It's still the bars. It's still, you know, now they got the Hard Rock.
It still has that feel.
It still has the feel that you're going to Yankee Stadium, and you don't lose that, which is great.
And that's coming from a lifelong Yankee fan who pretty much has season tickets in the bleachers. So you heard it from the Greek himself. When we come back, we wrap up the Off the Wall podcast with your phone calls. That's next, right after this.
Want to see what everyone's talking about? Check out the 2-time Emmy Award-winning video content at yesnetwork.com. It's the best in Yankees web shows, podcasts, and features. Only at yesnetwork.com.
Want to have your voice heard? Leave a comment or question on the Yankees and anything else sports-related for Chris at 646-487-3668. And now, back to Off the Wall.
Welcome back to the Off the Wall podcast, a special Off the Wall podcast for Sunday night, opening night. The Yankees and the Red Sox at Fenway Park opening up Major League Baseball's 2010 season. Chris Sheeran, Anthony Greek filling in for Joe Auriemma, who is under the weather. We wish Joey a very speedy recovery, and hopefully he'll be back with us next week for our Off the Wall podcast after the Yankees and Red Sox hook up in the first series of the season. Now we're going to go to the phone calls, and our first one is from Rhodey in Queens. Take it away, Rhodey.
Hey, this is Rhodey from Queens. And I believe our number four starter, Vasquez, will win 20-plus games this year. What is your opinion on that?
All right, you think he's going to get 20 wins, Vasquez. Now, listen, CC Sabathia had, what, 19 last year?
I believe so.
19, so that, I mean, if you're thinking that a fourth starter is going to get 20 wins, listen, here, I'll just, this is the bottom line. If Vasquez wins 20, the Yankees are going to have 130 wins, pretty much.
But, you know, I give Rhodey a lot of credit because, you know, he must be listening because a lot of people think he's going to win in that, you know, 17, 18, 19 win range. Now, maybe that's wishful thinking. He won 15, I guess, last year for the Braves, the National League. Obviously, nowhere near the lineup he's going to be, right. You know, with now. But I think Vasquez could win 18 games.
So he's not facing the pitcher and the bottom part of a lineup in the National League, which is kind of suspect. But I think he could be between 15 and 18.
But best closer in the game, and if Jabba's in the eighth, and he gives you seven innings, I think he can win 18. So I'm closer to what Rhodey thinks, 20.
Okay. All right, there you go. Greek thinks he can get 22. And who knows? Well, you know, we'll find out. All right, our next caller is a nameless caller. But we're going to use it anyway, so whoever you are, you're next.
Hey, guys, really excited about the upcoming Yankee season. I think the biggest pickup that the team made over the winter was Vasquez. He'll secure length to the rotation. He's an innings eater. I think he's really the key pickup for the season. Matsui and Johnson, I'm not so worried about losing Matsui. The key, again, is to have Nick Johnson play at least 142 games. That's what Matsui gave us last year. Just curious what you think the key pickup and key loss of the winter was. Thanks. Bye.
All right. The key pickup and the key loss for the Yankees this season. Well, obviously, as we've talked about in the previous segment, through Twitter, through our message boards, and through the polls, I tend to agree with everybody through those three segments, Greek, and I really think the key pickup for the Yankees is the guy we just talked about, Javier Vasquez. It improved the rotation. This is a guy that we talked about off camera who, you know, since he left the Yankees and started with other teams in 2005, he's led the league in strikeouts. I mean, it's Randy Johnson and it's Javier Vasquez. Plus, he's had 14, 15 wins ever since he left, too. And people seem to forget that when he was here with the Yankees in 2004, he was an all-star.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you can't. When he was picked up, a lot of people just said, oh my God, Vasquez. Oh, Johnny Damon hit a grand slam off of him in game seven of the ALCS and blah, blah, blah. Listen, that doesn't matter anymore. Vasquez, back then, was, you know, the Yankees were having him as like a one or a two. Now he's a four.
Right.
So I think a lot of the pressure's off him. And I think, as Greek just said, he has a shot to win 20 games.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at the guys, you know, Wynn and Timms and Granderson and the guys they picked up, I mean, I think it's pretty obvious that Vasquez, you pick up a number, probably two starter on most teams.
It just goes to show, you could pick up any kind of situation, you know, you could pick up any position player, but if you pick up a guy who's a number four, who could be a number two or number three on another team, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, if Vasquez is on the Orioles, he's a one or a two. I mean, that's the bottom line. So the Yankees get a number one or two guy. They put him number four. There's no way that any other pickups they had this offseason topped the Vasquez pickup.
And the key loss, listen, I guess you could throw in Damon and Matsui. I mean, they're key losses, but when you replace them with guys like, listen, Nick Johnson and Curtis Granderson have big shoes to fill. Damon was clutch last year.
Right.
You know, but I've heard from sources, very good sources, that if there was a Game 7 last year in the World Series, Johnny Damon would not have played.
Right.
His calf was that bad that he would not have played. I'm not going to reveal my source, but it's a pretty damn good source. Trust me.
I think Yankee fans are going to miss Matsui. I think they're just going to miss that professional attitude, you know, his commitment, just come every day, play as hard as he can. Of course, he's had a couple injury issues here and there.
Another lunch pail guy,
right,
who, you know, who New York loves.
Right. I mean, he hit 500 in the World Series. It was a great way for him to go out, 560, whatever it was. It was just an amazing World Series.
And Game 6, he was absolutely ridiculous.
But the thing I'll always remember about Matsui when I think of him as a Yankee is just the professionalism. Just never caused trouble. You never heard anything about him. The guy showed up every day. He played hard. He hit a lot of big home runs, had a lot of big hits. And like you said, lunch pail guy. And I think I'll miss him more than Damon, at least. But, you know, Damon, what can you say for what he contributed?
I think the Yankees had more key pickups than they had key losses. I think the key pickups are far greater than the people that they lost. And that's no disrespect to Damon or Matsui. They're tremendous players. But you got to think of long term. And that's what the Yankees were thinking of with Hideki's knees and Damon's calves. Who knows where they're going to be come July.
Hey, Damon could have been here, but Scott Boras struck again. So, you know, if it's the bottom line when you
And you know what? If the Tigers aren't having a good season, Damon could be back in pinstripes at the trade deadline. Who knows? He only signed a one-year deal.
Right, exactly.
So he still could be a Yankee. Moving on, Rosemary, you are our next caller. Go ahead.
Hi, Chris and Joe. This is Rosemary Famigletti, Miss Yankee on Twitter. Just wanted to ask the question, who do most people pick to go to the World Series this year? I think it's going to be the Yankees and Phillies again, and the Yankees winning their 28th World Championship. Thank you very much. You all are doing an exceptional job and always look forward to your information and interviews. Bye.
World Series picks. As we sit in the office here in early April, who do we think Greek is going to be in the World Series? Well, it seems like I don't know if you have the odds in front of you.
I wish I did.
Okay,
no, I
don't have the odds in front of you. But if I had to, I would agree with Rosemary, and I would say Yankees Phillies. Even though that there are teams like the Dodgers could make it, the Rockies,
Cardinals.
You could talk about the Cubs maybe making a push, but who knows? It all depends on injuries and everything else. But I really think when the Phillies got Roy Halladay, that kind of just hammered it home. Now, everybody thinks it's a no-brainer, but if Halladay, I think they're in the same position they were last year where it's Halladay and everybody else. Hamels has to have a bounce-back year. If Hamels doesn't have a bounce-back, Blanton's already hurt.
Right.
He's starting on IR. So if Hamels doesn't come back, the Phillies could be. Listen, do they have a good bullpen? They have Lidge out there. Yeah, it's decent, but he was hurt last year. Right,
so.
And with only one starter, with Cliff Lee as your one starter, how many games did they win in the World Series? Two. Who pitched both games? Cliff Lee, and they almost lost Game 5 when he pitched. Coke gave up those two solo shots. If he doesn't give up those two solo shots, the game is tied at 6.
What's dangerous is if Hamels bounces back and has a good year. And Lidge stays healthy and gets back to anywhere what he was, and now you throw Halladay in the mix. I mean, they're already the class of the NL.
Right.
They already went to the World Series with all those factors. And, you know, you got Worth, and you got Ruiz now, and, you know, Ryan Howard. And they're the class of the NL. That's the bottom line. And I would be surprised if they don't make it to the NL championship game, at least this year. But Halladay, as great as Cliff Lee was last year, and like you said, he won 2 games for them in the World Series, right?
Right. Game 1, Game 5.
The bottom line is Roy Halladay in the National League is scary. Could he go down and get hurt? Of course. But he's a scary guy in the National League. And if you're anybody else looking up at them, the Mets, the Marlins, the whole NL East, you got to be worried.
Every fifth day when he takes the mound, runs are going to come at a premium. If you give up 2 runs and Halliday's pitching, then you could pretty much wrap it up. I will not even go out on a limb. I will tell you, wrap it up because the game is over. All right, moving on, our last caller, another unknown, from parts unknown, like Kamala the Ugandan Giant. Remember him?
You know, what's funny is I actually saw Howard Finkel upstairs.
Really?
Some of the people listening may not know, but the WWE does some stuff in our building.
Right.
Saw Howard Finkel, and I actually asked him to say parts unknown for me in the control room, and he actually did the impression. So it's funny that comes up today.
Well, there you go, our last caller. Take it away, whoever you are.
Hi, I was just wondering about if the Yankees have an emergency catcher. Considering that they're not having too much luck this preseason, last year they always had Jerry Hairston Jr. to fill in. Just wondering what they're going to do if they have an emergency. Love to hear your opinion, Chris. Thanks.
All right. As our resident WWE expert Kevin Sullivan told me, Kamala the Ugandan Giant is from Uganda, so boo me heavily on that thing. Greek, who is the one from Parts Unknown?
Papa Shango.
Papa Shango.
No idea where he was from.
But, all right, emergency catcher. I think this is the last thing that Joe Girardi is worrying about right now. Is it something that maybe is in the back recesses of Joe Girardi's mind, knowing that, you know, Jorge Posada had injury problems last year, and Francisco Cervelli has had a couple of concussions already this year, once in winter ball and then once at spring training. Yeah, it does creep up on you, but the Yankees, in my opinion, in the farm system, are pretty much stocked, and they love Jesus Montero. As Greek said earlier, he's the jewel of the farm system. And don't sleep on Austin Romine as well. These two can basically come up and fill in and do yeoman's work if either Cervelli or Posada gets hurt. And don't forget about the waiver wire. They could pick somebody up through the waiver wire. They're not going to have to rely on, say, a Nick Swisher, who came in for some relief last year, or a guy like you said, Jerry Hairston, when they picked him up to be an emergency catcher. I think the Yankees could finagle a way that if the injuries mounted, they'd be fine.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be an issue at all. I don't have much to add to that. But like you said, Montero's the jewel of the farm system. I think a lot of Yankee fans want to see him. You know, they've seen him a little bit in spring training, which is nice. But, you know, late in the season, maybe for a cup of coffee, just to see, give him some experience and maybe relieve Posada. Yeah, it'll be nice to see, but I don't think it's going to be a big issue.
All right. For Anthony Greek, who did an excellent job filling in for Joe Auriemma today, who was under the weather, we wish Joe a very speedy recovery. I am Chris Sheeran, and this has been the Off the Wall podcast here on YesNetwork.com for opening night, when the Yankees start the 2010 MLB season, taking on, of course, their hated rival, the Boston Red Sox. We will see you with the new Off the Wall podcast coming to you next week. Until then, enjoy, everybody. Have a good one. She was more like a beauty queen from a movie scene. I said, don't mind, but what do you mean? I am the one who danced.